Chicago Sports Conversation is now.
I have great faith in Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley's not our issue right now. There's some very lopsided statistics. Look close at those.
We build in the museum, and the museum is the takeaways, and every time we get a takeaway, we just put pictures up in the museum, you know.
The Beat.
High lob to Skelly. Goes underneath. Pardon there. They're done. NFL. It is tough season opener. The Wildcats win. 79-75, the final.
On 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Ryan Field, where the Wildcats will try to take down the Purdue Boilermakers tonight. We are live up top, myself, Harry Tynowitz, till 5:30, a little extended pregame, Harry. Great to see you. I missed you. Where have you been? I almost feel like I need a hug.
Well, you know, you can have a hug, like you haven't been getting them while you haven't been without me. The last two Saturdays, we've been off because of Northwestern football, because of exciting Northwestern football, as the Wildcats have become the first team ever, people know the stat now, win three straight games in overtime. That's pretty cool. Today would be four. Everybody's cheering for, like, a Northwestern overtime. And I've missed you. I've missed doing the Beat with you. And I just want to know, like, how's your mindset? Are you excited the All-Star game's coming to Chicago? Can you believe the Bears are favored over the Packers? And are you engaged yet?
It's my I'm not engaged. Thank you for asking. It is my favorite time of year outside of when it's warm outside. So we've got basketball rolling. And it was great to be out last night, Allstate Arena, see the Wildcats in their new home, getting a win over Loyola Maryland.
The Greyhounds?
Had to sweat it out with the Greyhounds last night, which was not in the part of the plan, but they got it done. Dave Ennett, by the way, was never nervous. Myself and Joey Meyer were very nervous.
He is less nervous than Purvis Ellison. You know, remember Never Nervous Purvis of Louisville?
Of course.
Okay, he was more nervous than Ennett was.
That was the 86 final, Never Nervous Purvis?
Yes, I believe they beat the Duke Blue Devils. So here's my question. The Greyhounds, because I spent, you know, a lot of time in bars.
Yeah.
The Greyhounds mascot, is it a dog that races like at a dog track, or is it the cocktail, the alcoholic beverage, the Greyhound?
I believe it is a dog. I did not see any live mascot except for Willie last night, so I don't really know. And on their uniforms, my attention to detail is perhaps a little bit poor, but I believe it's a dog, Harry. Okay. I'm going with the dog.
I love the obscure college logo.
Yeah, well, that would be the Greyhounds. All right. We're going to do Bears-Packers rivalry in about 10 minutes here with Green Bay coming to Soldier Field tomorrow. But huge news this week, 2020, the year that will all that the Bulls and NBA basketball will for sure be relevant, at least for a weekend. I don't know if the Bulls will be relevant by then. Maybe they will be. Let's all hope they are. But the NBA All-Star Game coming to Chicago, this is my childhood revisited, Harry. I'd like to go deep with you right now on what it means to me to have the All-Star Game coming back here.
Well, please do tell. I know that last year when they took it away from Charlotte because of the rules they had imposed and the LGBT bathroom situation, that the Bulls were one of the teams that really wanted it, and it ended up going to New Orleans. So I think it's great that the Bulls have it coming here, and by 2020, they could have four All-Stars on that team.
They could. They very well could. They also could have none. One of the two is
sure,
or somewhere in the middle. Hopefully they have four, maybe five. Who knows? The rebuild, massive success. 1988, February of 88, Harry.
Yes. Oh, the MJ and Dominique and
right.
The slam dunk.
Right. I was 14 years old, and it was interesting. I didn't know until this week, reading Casey Johnson in the Tribune and Joe Collins and Sun-Times and whatnot, the Bulls didn't want to have the All-Star game because season ticket holders were being displaced. And Jerry Reinsdorf didn't like that.
See, I'm telling you, Reinsdorf is awesome.
See, I never knew that. And as a very fortunate young man who, rough and tumble, North Shore kid, had the Bulls season tickets, we got bumped to the last row in the second balcony, and I'm looking down at my mezzanine seats, section C, aisle 3, row H, right on the aisle, and there's a dude in a green satin starter Boston Celtics coat sitting in my seat, the seat that I would sit there with Papa Fred, and we're in the last row. I love the second balcony. I miss old Chicago Stadium more than any, and it's sweet. But, hey, when I got a mezzanine seat in the All-Star Games here, that's where I should be sitting. But the dude in the Boston Celtics starter coat was sitting in it.
Now, I've got a pretty good memory. I kind of remember sitting in our seats we had seats for the Bulls at that time. A pair of tickets that I split with two other guys.
You were cool. You were one of those guys.
By hook or by crook. Well, no, I had a buddy, Jerry Van Fleet, who said, "Have you seen this Jordan play? This guy is great." I'm like, "Well, he was great in college." "Well, I never watched college." "What? So you missed, like, him taking his team to a national championship?" So he's like, "I would get season tickets if you'll go in with it." So we got a third guy, and we bought season tickets. Third guy, I believe, was Bad Todd. And for the All-Star game, we had seats. It was great. And that is, like, the last time I remember that the dunk competition was awesome.
That was unbelievable, right? Little Michael, little Dominique. That was the best. You know what was not the best, but the stadium loved back then?
The three-point competition.
Right, right. Won by Larry Bird. Hit the final three in a row.
One of the greatest players ever.
Stuck the finger up in the air. My father, sitting next to me, last row, second balcony, stands on his feet, goes nuts for Larry Bird. And I'm looking at him like, hey, that is the enemy. That is the man that swept the Bulls out of the playoffs the last couple of years.
I agree.
I hated Bird.
I couldn't agree more.
Hated McHale. Hated Parrish, hated DJ, hated Danny Ainge. He's doing a great job, by the way, rebuilding the Celtics.
Yes, he's on my wife's list of five, by the way.
Well past rebuild at this point, by the way. He's on your wife's what?
List of five.
Really?
Yes.
She's attracted to Danny Ainge?
Yes. She for a while, Fred Couples was on that list, but he has since been moved off. You know, I dated all these women that, like, didn't love sports.
Yeah.
And I was very shallow. I know you find that hard to believe.
I do find it hard to believe.
And, you know, it didn't matter. We didn't have anything in common because, like, hey, you know, you stay up late and, you know, you let me hang out with you.
You're the deepest guy I know.
Oh, yeah. How deep is your love? So, anyhow, she loved Danny Ainge. I was able to finally introduce her to Danny Ainge once.
I know where you introduced him.
Where?
What was that? The Ultimate Sports Bar and Grill. That's where I think you introduced Danny Ainge to your wife.
No, but I spent a lot of time there. They had a boxing ring. What a cool place to eat dinner. In a boxing ring. In a restaurant.
We're doing 1980s sports for 500, Alex. Go ahead.
When ESPN started, we were 3-6, and after about 4 months, they made us 6-8. And the shows were invariably cut because we had the Bulls, the Sox, and the Hawks at that time.
Right.
So we asked if we could be live at the stadium when there was a home game. If we're only going to do half an hour and we're leading into that game, let's be at that place. So we got to know the teams, players on the teams, and the front office guys very well because we were always there. And we would do our show from the floor before a Bulls game. And
how awesome is that?
We asked if Danny Ainge could come out, and he came out, and I introduced him to my fiance, and I said, "Hey, you're on her list of five." He's like, what are you talking about? It was great.
That's awesome. It's a very rando Danny Ainge reference to the Ultimate Sports Bar and Grill. My brother used to go there, and they had the basketball hoop, and guys would, you know, shoot horse for drinks or whatever, monies.
It was on Lincoln and Armitage.
Right. So Ainge showed up there once, and my brother's buddy, Rob Garrity, the great Rob Garrity, never missed. Ainge comes in, challenges him to horse, makes like 2 out of 5, loses to Ainge. Got nervous.
Now there's a certain Bulls,
choked.
There's a certain Bulls executive, and if he's listening to us talk about Danny Ainge right now, he's vomiting. That would be John Paxson. Because Danny Ainge went the length of the court with seconds left, and BYU knocked out the Fighting Irish from the tournament.
Ooh.
And Pax did not like that. He was on the floor, and Danny Ainge went coast to coast. Danny Ainge wanted to play baseball. He played for the Blue Jays. I think he hit about $160. But as a basketball player, he was something.
Right, right.
And even a better executive.
Absolutely. Kyrie's doing it for him.
Oh, my God. What? They're so loaded.
If Gordon Hayward hadn't gotten hurt. Hey, before we move off the Bulls, last week when on Sunday, I talked about Mirotić and Portis, right?
Yeah.
And my take was that Bobby Portis, despite the fact that he's, you know, got the worst of this, got hit in the face, he needs to
punch Mirotić in the face.
I mean, I'm sorry, that Mirotić got the worst of it. My point is that Nico has to see his future be his future, and the best thing for Nico's future is to be on the court and playing. The Bulls can't trade him till January the 15th. And I know that it sucks that you got hit in the face, but this is about you and your career, and sometimes you just got to get over things. I'm curious the Harry Tynowitz opinion on somebody in the workplace who's being harassed
I see what you're doing here.
I mean, I know we don't need to relive all of your history, but there is some history that you can relate to this.
There's one thing to say, you know, hey, screw you. There's another thing to physically, you know, hit a guy or push a guy in the radio studio.
Right.
Bobby Portis was absolutely wrong.
Yes.
He was incredibly wrong. I think he's a better player than Nico. I think that Bobby Portis is apt to stay. I think Meritich will be traded at January 16th. But Nico's got to get over this. And you know, I've been in that situation where you're successful and your team is doing well, and there's a guy who, for whatever reason, is being a complete, you know, donkey, and you have to put up with it. And maybe years later, when neither one of you is on ESPN, you become good friends.
That's how that works.
Right, that's how that works. But Portis should not have punted. Casey Johnson wrote that, you know, something like, as is his custom, Nico took the step in. So, like, you know, Casey called him out for being the aggressor, but Portis is the guy that threw the punch.
Right. Well, they're both, clearly Bobby is more wrong than Nico, but it's also pretty clear by everything that Nico had some role in the affair. Bobby didn't, like, come out of nowhere and, you know, just hit him. Now conflict resolution. This is not the way to go about it. By the way, so he plays his first home game last night.
Yeah. He's had two good games.
Let's relive when Bobby Portis checked into the game last night. Now enter the game for the Bulls, Bobby Portis. Dead silence, zero response. No one cares. Not a boo, not a cheer, not in anything. And then he, you know, grabbed some rebounds, hit some shots again, had a 20-10 night, and he got the cheers. But like literally, there was zero reaction. No one cares. It doesn't matter. Move forward. Same thing with Nico.
I hated Portis's apology. The first people that Portis apologized to, okay, now he could have gone two ways. He could have apologized to Nico, or he could have apologized to his team. So which way did he go? He apologized to his fans. He said, yeah, I just want to come out and apologize to my fans.
As if he has fans.
Both of them? Really, Bobby?
Mom and dad.
I mean, wow, that's so cool of you. You feel bad for your fans. You've got to apologize to Nico first, and then you got to apologize to your teammates for the distraction, for taking a player off the court. And you got to apologize to the front office. You know,
he has called and he has texted and Nico will respond. But that's funny. I missed that one. I didn't catch that. He apologized to
his fans.
To the Bobby Portis fans.
Yes.
Now checking into the game, Bobby Portis. All right.
What is the sound of two fans clapping?
All right. Let's talk great rivalries next here. Bears and Packers tomorrow at Soldier Field.
And I maintain that there is no team that a Chicago sports fan enjoys beating more than the Green Bay Packers. So who's with me?
Yeah. Let's see who's with Harry, and I'll give my opposite side of that coming on back here. We are live at Ryan Field. Dave and Ted getting ready for the pregame at 5:30, which you can hear the game tonight on 1160 as we do have Blackhawks hockey tonight on the air. The Cats and Purdue. This is The Beat, 720 WGN. Blackhawks and Hurricanes, of course, on WGN Radio tonight as well. 5:30, our pregame, 6 o'clock, the puck drop. I'm Mark Harmony, Siri Tynos. We're live at Ryan Field. The Wildcats and Purdue tonight. You can hear the game on AM 1160. Dave and Ted, the pregame at 5:30. And we'll do the 11 game on November the 11th. 11-11, the 11 game. And you know who created that. It was not me. It was you, Harry Tynowitz. Congratulations.
Yes, because I'm creative and I have a lot of time on my hands.
Well, you're an amazing person. So, all right, Bears-Packers. Adam Hogue's going to be here at some point. We're going to try to throw him on mic and get a little take on the game tomorrow. But
Hoagie.
Harry and I were having a very spirited conversation this morning, you and I were, and you were talking about how this amazing Bears-Packers rivalry, there's nobody you hate more than the Green Bay Packers, the green and gold. And I'm like, look, I was born in 1973. I am 44 years old. There has not been one time in my life where the Bears and Packers have actually been a rivalry.
Not one single championship game.
I mean, they met in the playoffs for a second, and that's true.
Yes.
But everybody knew the Bears were losing that football game.
Really? Because it was at Soldier Field.
I thought they were losing that football game. Whatever. That's the one time. Charles Martin throwing down Jim McMahon, I wanted to kill him. Outside of that, the Bears were better than the Packers when I was growing up. They weren't even close. And since Brett Favre showed up and Aaron Rodgers after that, the Bears haven't sniffed Green Bay.
All right, let me explain something to you, okay?
Yeah.
This is like the Hatfield and McCoys. This is the oldest rivalry in football. This might be the greatest rivalry in professional sports, Bears-Packers. Yeah, lately, the Packers have dominated the Bears with Favre and Rodgers. But the Bears used to dominate the Packers. Those Super Bowl Bears, you think your buddy Hamp and Mongo, you think those guys lost to the Packers a whole lot? They didn't.
Listen, I know they didn't. Right. That's why I didn't care about Green Bay. At that point, I cared about the Niners. At that point, I cared about the Washington Redskins. I wasn't thinking about Green Bay and who was even their quarterback back then that's slipping my mind right now.
They had Don Majkowski.
They had
Lynn Dickey.
Lynn Dickey. That's who I'm thinking of. Lynn Dickey.
What college?
Lynn Dickey.
Kansas State is correct.
Great. They weren't relevant. And so, like, when everybody says, I hate Green Bay, and I'd love to, if we have a second here, 312-981-7200. I mean, for me, no franchise I've ever hated in my life or will hate in my life more than the Detroit Pistons when it was the Bad Boys. That was a rivalry.
Because
they played in the playoffs every single year. Yes.
But that's Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
That's Rick Mahorn.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Those guys are big jerks.
Right.
I hate that team. Like, when the Bulls play the Pistons this season, I'm not going to say,
right,
oh, man, we got to beat them. Okay, I have angst towards the Red Wings. I would put the Red Wings second behind the Packers. The Cubs play the Cardinals 18 times. So even when the Cubs blow, they're still going to beat the Cardinals.
Right.
We can agree on that. But Bears-Packers, man, that's just at a different level. Think of the Packers and the Bears as like the Hatfields and McCoys. It doesn't matter what happened the rest of the year. If you're at that picnic and the McCoys show up and you're a Hatfield, you stay away from my sister.
See, but this is the thing. Like, Wisconsin, to me, is just a lovely state filled with fun-loving, good people. The Brewers are nice.
Uh-huh.
The Bucks are nice. Green Bay, like, I respect the franchise. The only Green Bay, Wisconsin has this football team. It's like, it's completely, it just doesn't add up. How is that even possible?
How about Stills, the late hit on Suey? The play is over, and he late hits cheap shot Suey. How about Forrest Gregg, a once proud NFL lineman, teaching his players to be conniving little brats? Okay, the Packers
Ed Obradovich loves Forrest Gregg. No bet.
Well,
OB loves a Forrest Gregg. Now he hates the Green Bay Packers, and so does Dan Hampton, and so does everybody else who ever played for the Bears that I've ever met.
Right.
So
I'm saying, if you're a Chicago sports fan, there is no team for a Chicago team to beat that's more enjoyable than the Green Bay Packers.
312-981-7200. Do you have that level of hate that Harry's bringing to the table for the green and gold?
Who do you hate more?
And
who's more fun? So, I mean, you're giving
Detroit,
but you're giving me the specific bad boys.
Yes, yes. But that's
see,
how
not going to happen unless you're watching Hardwood Classics. And I could make a joke here, but I won't. Unless you're watching Hardwood Classics tonight, Bulls and Pistons, you're not going to see the Bad Boys play the Bulls this season.
Like, I think for a Cubs fan, it's the White Sox, it's the Cardinals. I think for a Sox fan, it's the Cubs, and it's, I don't even know in the American League now. Like, who would that even be? Back in the day, it was probably the Brewers, I guess, a little bit. I don't even know. That changes, right.
Right, you always hate the Yankees.
And you always hate the Yankees.
Right.
And you always, if you have any shred of credibility, if you live here and you didn't go to Michigan, you hate Michigan. You hate Go Blue. But that's not, I mean, that's, it doesn't, I just don't, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something, but I've never gotten the Green Bay hate.
How do you not get the Green Bay hate?
Because it was like,
it's so obvious. You didn't get sick of Brett Favre throwing that same screen pass? Hey, here's an idea, defensive coordinator. Get ready for the Favre to throw the screen pass. Hey, it's third and long. What are you going to do? Let's send everybody and not have anybody back. Hey, let's see if Favre throws long. You know, let's just blitz him. I bet he won't throw a screen pass this time because all it ever does is go 70 yards for a touchdown.
Honestly, How about
when they played in Champaign and Favre threw like a 97-yard touchdown in the second play of the game?
I kind of always enjoyed watching Favre play. I kind of enjoy watching Rodgers play. They're great players.
They are great players, but you know, I'm so sick of that stat they would show at Bears games when they would have like quarterbacks since 1992, and for the Bears it would list 72 guys. You know, Peter Tom Willis and Henry Burris and Will Fuhrer. And as a Jew, I hated it when he played because you'd have 60,000 people in the stadium going, go Fuhrer.
That was rough.
And then for Green Bay, all they show is Brett Favre. And then they go right to Aaron Rodgers. And they're just rolling 70,000 names for the Bears and two names for the Packers.
608 texting in Wisconsin. I told Dave Kaplan. Who's Dave Kaplan?
He's your friend. He's your buddy.
He is. It's dead. I've heard of him before. Once that if the Packers were to win two games in one season against the Bears, it's a winning season. Saying if they go
and that happened.
I mean, like, really?
The Bears Super Bowl year, when they lost the Super Bowl, the Bears went 13-3 and they lost both games to the Packers.
Right, and that was fine. That was absolutely fine, Harry. All right, quick timeout. The 11 game on 11-11 coming up here after the 4:30 news, 720 WGN. WGN. I'm Mark Carmody, Sari Tynowitz. We're live at Ryan Field. The Wildcats and the Purdue Boilermakers. You can listen to the game tonight on AM 1160. Blackhawks pregame, Hawks and the Hurricanes coming up at 5:30. We're going to do the 11 game on 11-11, one of the Harry Tynowitz great games in the history of games. And it's going to be Dave Ennett, the voice of the Wildcats, versus sideline superstar Adam Hogue and color commentator Ted Albrecht. But first, before we do that, Adam Hogue, since you're up here, and it's Bears-Packers tomorrow, we were just talking about that. Should the Bears are favored against Green Bay. Brett Hundley should not be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. I'll just throw it out there right now. Colin Kaepernick should, or somebody else for that matter. But how do you see tomorrow?
I think the line's kind of right where it should be. If Danny Trevathan doesn't play, then I think this could be a little bit closer than it would otherwise be. Here's what I predicted on our podcast this week. 17-6 Bears.
Bears.
If Trevathan plays, if he doesn't, 17-10. So a touchdown. They're just not very good offensively right now, the Packers. And the Bears defense has been the one constant throughout the season. Do I have much faith in the Bears offense? Not really. But they're not going up against the Bears defense. The Packers are, and that's a problem for them.
All right, we know we have two talented running backs on the Bears. I don't play for them, but I say we. We have a couple of new bodies that will be on the field. Marcus Wheaton barely played, and Inman's come in from the Chargers. What do you expect from this new improved Bears receiving corps?
It's new. I don't know if it's improved.
Inman caught, 57 balls last year?
He did, but then why wasn't he even a part of their team this year?
Like,
they didn't even play. He had a little hamstring injury at one point, but otherwise, like, he wasn't part of the offense this year. They go out and draft Mike Williams in the draft, you know, so it's, I don't know. And I'm not expecting him to be a huge difference maker, but he's a different wide receiver, so that has to be something that, you know. But Marcus Wheaton, he can't stay healthy. He wasn't healthy last year with the Steelers. He hasn't been healthy with the Bears this year. When he has been out there, he hasn't really caught any passes. I believe he has just one catch. So I'm not sure there's going to be a major difference. A
lot of comments from Mitchell Trubisky this week about opening up the offense. It was good to have the bye week. He learned some things. Can't wait to throw the ball downfield. You think we're going to see that?
I think Dow Loggins and Mitch Trubisky would love to. I think they also know that they might not be able to because of the wide receivers.
Oh.
And John Fox.
Okay. I was wondering how much you were putting Fox on there. All right. Bears-Packers tomorrow. Okay. Let's bring in Dave and Ted here. The 11 game on 11-11. Harry, this is your brainchild. I'd like you to welcome in the broadcast crew here. I'm a little bit nervous as to how this is going to go.
This is obviously it's Veterans Day. This game really is not about veterans. It's simply about the number 11. And of course, everybody at WGN thanks all the veterans for everything they've done for us. Happy Veterans Day. This is the 11 game. It's going to be Ted and Adam playing against Dave. And every answer here has something to do with the number 11. It's either a guy who wore number 11 when he played sports, or it has to do with the number 11 itself.
Isaiah Thomas.
So it'll be Adam and Ted first, and you'll get there'll be 11 questions total. You'll each get asked four questions just for you.
Wow.
And then there'll be three questions that will be a toss-up.
Wow.
So we'll begin with Ted and Adam. Ted Albrecht, Adam Hogue. And they are playing for?
They are playing for an outstanding gift to be determined. I'll find out from Dan Long what that will be. We'll have it for you by the end of maybe an autographed Ted Albrecht picture, which he has brought in here.
Look at that. Bob Avellini. That's your favorite Maryland Terp.
I'm assuming that when you have a Bob Avellini photo that you would autograph it because you're blocking or something.
I'm not in it. There's an usher down here that I've been I know for 24 years, and every week he gives me something. And this was a Bob Avellini autographed photo.
And
there you go.
Okay, Ted, couldn't you get an autographed photo of Bob Avellini if you wanted
one? Actually, I played with Bob the last 3 years in the alumni golf outing.
Yeah.
Bob, he likes me, actually.
No, I'm sure he does, but... You had his blind side.
So I'm going to give this to Bob with the tournament next year. How about that?
That's pretty awesome.
We're playing for Lou Malnati's, one of the great Chicago pizzas. Of course, 25 Chicagoland locations, the standard Lou Malnati's. And we have a couple of callers who are going to be lifelines, Dave and Ted and Adam. You can go to the phones for a lifeline. That is there
one
for you
time,
today.
One time and one time only. Mike is playing with Ted and Adam. If Ted and Adam get the victory here, Mike wins Lou Malnati's. And Tom is playing with Dave. If Dave wins, Tom gets the gets the prize.
So, Dave, you're not completely ganged up on here. You can go to Tom for help.
Okay.
All right. It's the 11 game. We'll start with Ted and Adam. This quarterback out of Washington State was the first pick in the 93 draft. His injury in 2001 forced the Patriots to turn to an unknown backup. The following season, this guy was under center for the Buffalo Bills.
You know it, don't you?
See, he knows everything.
I got it.
I know what it is.
Well, you'll have a chance to steal if they can't get it right.
Drew Bledsoe, correct?
Drew Bledsoe is correct. So there's one for the Ted and Adam team.
For the record here, Dave is just looking at Ted right now thinking, I would be up 1-0 if Hogue wasn't helping you.
Yeah, I mean, how fair is this? Right? It's 2-1.
No, now it is fair.
You're right.
Because
no.
I got my stud here. I got my guy.
Well, then why don't you just take the headset off?
I will.
Go have a cup of coffee.
I'm just sitting around watching.
You're right. It's not fair. We should get four more guys against you. All right, Dave, here's your question. In the 90s, he was wearing number 10 when the Bulls decided they would retire the number for Bob Love. So even though he had won 3 championship rings earlier in the decade as point guard with Michael and the boys, he finished his Bulls career wearing jersey 11.
My guy.
Okay, and I'll give it to you again. In the
90s. Hey, repeat it again.
Oh, wait a minute. Tom just jumped in with the answer. Go ahead, Tom. Say it. You got it. Go ahead and say it.
Tom? I didn't say anything. I didn't say it.
Son, who did?
Tom can use his lifeline.
It's Mike.
Mike, you don't want Dave to get it right.
Yeah. So, John Paxson.
Can I steal?
Hold on. John Paxson.
Dave's in trouble.
John Paxson is incorrect.
I heard someone say John Paxson.
Yeah, you guys should be on hold, actually.
Yeah, right. This is a great game, Harry.
Yeah.
We have a game here. We go on the air here in 45 minutes.
Mike and Tom could just go on hold, please. That would be so great. That would be wonderful. Put them where my love life is. All right, guys, you have a chance to steal.
B.J. Armstrong.
B.J. Armstrong is correct. He wore number 10, was forced to switch to number 11.
I don't remember him switching.
Oh, yeah, he did late in his career because they
moved. Making that up, Harry?
Yeah, you caught me. I'm making it up. No, I'm not making it up. All right, this is for you guys, for Ted and Adam. This is the second all-time leading scorer in the National Hockey League, the only player in NHL history to captain 2 different teams to the Stanley Cup championship. He won 5 cups with Gretzky in Edmonton, then his 6th playing with the great Eddie Olczyk in 94 as captain of the New York Rangers.
I don't know if I have my timeline correct here, but I'm going to say Messier.
Mark Messier is correct.
Okay.
Why don't you just read him the Messier life story?
I mean, he gave you a lot of information.
That was a legitimate guess.
I love Angry Dave. It's my favorite
Dave. I'm not angry.
Dave?
I'm just disappointed.
Well, now you know how my wife feels. Dave, out of Pitt, we're playing the 11 game. Out of Pitt, this certain Hall of Famer wears number 11 for the Cardinals and currently leads the NFC in receiving yards.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald is correct.
Bang.
3-1, Ted and Adam ahead of Dave.
3-1, wait a minute. They have 3?
Yeah, because you were Paxson.
Oh, that is so weak.
He's a competitor, man, I'm telling you.
I love it. I love it.
You should see him fight over the salmon at dinner, man, on the road. He's tough.
I almost fight over salmon?
There's one piece of salmon left, he gets it every time.
If I was officiating this game, it's not my game, this is Harry's game, I would say that Adam Hogue has to sit this question out, Ted, and you got to earn yourself.
I'm not getting a free pizza here. I'm just enjoying the competition.
It's Harry's game. I'm overseeing. Continue on, please.
All right, guys. This point guard won an Illinois State championship playing at St. Joe's.
On.
He won a college championship at Indiana in 81, and he won an NBA championships with the Pistons.
Why don't you go ahead and mention
Ted.
He used to run the New York Knicks.
I feel like we should make...
He killed the CBA.
This one's for Ted.
We should make Ted answer this because you already said the answer on the air, Carr.
Ted.
You did.
I didn't hear it.
Do you know the answer?
No.
Ooh. Harry?
Judges?
I mean, I'll say it just so for the record, we did put it out there, Isaiah Thomas, but... It's up to you whether or not you want to give us credit for it.
Well, I think you should get credit.
Thank you.
And
Harry.
Dave will have
4-1.
The three toss-ups. He'll have a chance to come back. The three toss-up questions are worth multiple points. So he could be trailing by three and still come back. All right, this is for Dave Ennett, currently down 4-1. But
how can I be down 4-1? You've only asked like two questions.
The smart money is still on Ennett. He is the greatest Chinese basketball player of all time.
Yao Ming.
The disdain in your voice.
So angry.
Let's get on with it.
Okay.
Come on.
I'm never going to work on WGN again.
It could be over for both of us, Harry.
Yes, okay. Okay, guys, Ted and Adam. In the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, what are there 11 of, and what are they doing?
I don't like Christmas music, so...
I don't either. I don't want to answer this.
Do you hate all kids?
Well, not my own.
Well, I need an answer.
What? We're going to pass it over to Dave.
Well, if you pass, he's going to get a chance to steal.
That's
plus,
right.
He'll get his own.
That's all right. We'll give him a chance.
Okay, so there are, in the song 12 Days of Christmas, right, there's 12 drummers drumming, and then there are 11 what doing what?
I think you should be required to sing the song out loud as you do it in your own head.
I know it's one of two. It's either Piper's Piping or Maids of Milking. No, I'm not. I'm going to say.
Or.
I'm going.
Or.
Or?
Yeah.
Is there an or?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Wow. Giving clues.
11.
I would have gone with Piper's Piping.
Yeah, I think Piper's Piping.
Okay, let's double check that one. I have Lords A-Leaping.
Oh!
11 Lords A-Leaping.
Okay, but this, Dave, that was a steal. Here's your question, Dave. The movie Ocean's 11 was made in 1960. It was remade in 2001.
I didn't know
Give
that.
Me three actors that appeared in either of the movies.
Wow.
Just three actors that appeared in either one of the Ocean's 11, the original or the remake.
Frank Sinatra.
That is correct.
George Clooney.
George Clooney is correct.
Julia Roberts.
Just like that.
Bang.
Yep. Boom. All right.
Score.
I would have said Sammy Davis Jr.
No, he did too.
Yeah. You would have been right. So it's 4-3.
Dave and Ted extended pregame here. Wildcats can be heard on AM 1160 night starting at 5:30.
I got some prep to finish up.
This is actually my last question.
Okay.
Because I have to go do something for the Purdue.
Five point question, Harry.
Well, I have him as a 3-point question.
Okay, great. So.
I think Adam needs to go because we have an obligation to help out our Learfield brethren over in the Purdue.
And he wants to win. So.
Okay.
And I want him
any
out of
hoagies?
Here.
Thanks, Adam. All right, so it's Ted Albrecht against Dave Ennett here for all the money. Ted's up one. The 11 game, three toss-up questions, each worth 3 points. Ted's up by one.
How do we?
Just when you if you know the please don't yell out the answer. Please, thanks for asking. Please say your name. Please say your name. Okay. So Dave, you'll say Dave, and Ted, you'll say Bob Avellini.
Okay.
If you know the answer.
Good.
All right. Here you go. Apollo 11 landed the first two humans on the moon. Neil Armstrong was one of the astronauts. Who was the other?
Do 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 do.
Very good, Carl.
Thank you.
Apollo 11 landed the first two humans on the moon. Neil Armstrong was one of the astronauts.
And he was a Purdue guy, by the way.
Look at you. Look at you.
Don't I get something for that?
That's awesome. That's awesome. Who was the other one?
Well, I know it wasn't James Lovell.
Mm-hmm. Now, remember, you have a lifeline on hold.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, I'll take Mike.
You both can do it. So how are we going to do this?
Okay.
They both get it, so I guess we can't do the live.
Very, very risky move going back to the phone.
Yeah,
I guess
Buzz Aldrin?
Buzz Aldrin? I said Buzz. And he said Aldrin.
Judges?
You each get a point and a half.
Wait, it's a tie then.
No, hold on.
The game's ended up a tie.
Hold on, there's two more questions. Two more questions.
Let's go to the next question.
What specifically, yell your name, what specifically does Chapter 11 cover?
Dave.
Dave.
Bankruptcy.
Correct. and Dave has now jumped in front.
I almost said Dave.
So Dave is up by a point and a half. Whoever gets this question correct wins. If nobody gets it correct, Dave wins.
Wait, if I'm up by a point and a half, he gets a point and a half for this question?
No. This is a three-point question, I'm saying. So he could get it right, and he wins. If you get it right, you win.
It's on the line right here. Everybody sit by their radio. This is the moment.
Today is the 22-year anniversary of Northwestern's final home game in their Big Ten Rose Bowl season of 95. Trailing at halftime, the Wildcats were up 4 late in the game when this Wildcat defensive back, who Pat Fitzgerald... Dave.
Hudaifa Ismaili.
Dang, he's good. You are correct.
Iowa.
Recovered a fumble and returned it for a touchdown.
Iowa.
Yep.
There you go. Well, I at least get a half a point for the name of the team. Iowa.
Yes, you do.
See, I called Iowa.
But he had the lead.
That's fine.
And so Dave Anik wins.
He
beats Ted Albright and Adam Hope.
Guy Mike gets pizza,
just for the record.
All right, let's give them both pizza.
Let's give them both pizza. Congratulations. And for the record, my games get killed on this station for their lack of, perfect form. I think you came right down with a Karam level game right there, and I loved every second of it. It was great. Congratulations. Who won?
Dave Ennett.
Okay, congratulations.
Hey, it was an honor to be with you.
Wildcats.
Who's on at this time slot next week?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm guessing KP and Sam.
Wildcat football, 5:30 tonight on AM 1160. Quick timeout. And we have a tribute for Veterans Day coming right on back here, 720 WGN. WGN 457. Mark Carman, Harry Tynowitz, live at Ryan Field. Wildcats and Purdue coming up. And, of course, there's Blackhawks hockey on the air tonight right here on 720. Cats and the Carolina Hurricanes. You can hear the Wildcat game on AM 1160. Harry, it's Veterans Day today, and we wanted to do a tribute on the beat. And so we are bringing in our friend Anthony Canella, who... is a part of City Colleges. He went to Malcolm X back in 2013. And he's also a man who served in the Navy from 2002 to 2006 in Norfolk, Virginia. Worked a handful of jobs after his discharge period where he was trying to figure out what he was going to do. He goes to City Colleges where he starts excelling. And he decides, you know what, I want to be a trainer. And now he works for Export Fitness, and he's doing, like, military-style training. You can walk in Export, you can find Anthony, and next thing you know, you're going to be in better shape and tougher than you ever were. And he's one of our veterans, and he joins us now on WGN. Anthony, thanks for taking time. Appreciate your service, sir.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you thanking me for that. I appreciate the shout-out, especially myself, all my other veterans out there, especially on Veterans Day, and... my company as well.
Anthony, so tell us about what happens. Now, this isn't just for athletes. If some slouch like me came in, you could train us?
Dude, I could train almost any and everybody. I believe that it all starts with primitive movement, then moves on to functionalism. The functional movement moves on to actual athletic performance, and so on and so forth. Not every trainer is certified in that, but... whether it comes to corrective exercise or positional isometrics, it doesn't really matter where exactly you are at in the spectrum, but where do you want to be in that with your own lifestyle? And I think it goes from there.
Anthony, do you miss being in the service?
Dude, I miss it to maybe about 60%. I miss being with my brethren, and everyone else that I was surrounded with. But I also don't not miss not being with my family and so on and so forth. So it's always a sacrifice that you must give up, but you always gain something in return.
Anthony, I could watch those YouTube videos of our men and women in service coming back to America and surprising their families. I know it happens a lot, but it doesn't happen enough, and I could sit there and I could watch all of them. Those are so great. I have to ask you before we say goodbye, and again, happy Veterans Day to everybody that served on our behalf. What is the greatest? I'm always curious to know this. What is the greatest movie ever, in your opinion, about the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines? What do you think is the greatest movie ever about the service?
Oh, there's been so many. I'd say League of just a Few Good Gentlemen, probably. Just because there's so many different type of typecasts that were out there, and that which it fits too many different characters in that actual respect. So.
Anthony Cannella, graduate of City Colleges, master personal trainer, expert, and a veteran joining us on Veterans Day. Anthony, thank you so much for your service, and thanks for the time.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Quick time out here. We'll get you into news. By the way, if you want to get some more info on Malcolm X College, it's 773-COLLEGE, C-O-L-L-E-G-E, or you could go to ccc.edu. Quick time out. Get you into news. And then Dr. Jim Phillips, Northwestern's outstanding athletic director, will be with us here at Ryan Field with you till 5:30 on 720 WGN.
Is live from Ryan Field in Evanston on 720 WGN.
I'm Mark Harmon, Sari Tino. It's kickoff at a little after 6 tonight, 6:10 to be exact. And Dave and Ted, of course, on the call, AM 1160. We have Blackhawks hockey tonight, the Hawks and Carolina pregame, bottom of the hour at 5:30 with Chris Bowden, and then, of course, John and Troy. So, as we're about to talk to Dr. Jim Phillips, Northwestern's outstanding athletic director. A lot going on, of course. Top of that is the new arena being built and the Cats basketball team playing at Allstate Arena. Got a win last night against Loyola Maryland. Looking around the conference today, Harry, just football-wise, Wisconsin on their way to being 10-0. They lead Iowa 24-14 going to the fourth quarter.
And the game hasn't been anywhere near that close. Iowa's got like 3 first downs all day. Defensive touchdowns have helped Iowa.
Right. And so the story being with the Big Ten getting or beating up on each other, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, nobody appears to be going to the Final Four. Wisconsin doesn't have a signature win on their schedule, and because the Big Ten has beat each other up, they might not get in. So from the Big Ten Conference, you could have an undefeated team not in the playoff.
Good point by you. Wisconsin is going to be 10-0 for the first time in school history. And they sit at number 8, and they're behind, you know, several teams that have one loss. But they all, you know, it's like unanimous across the country. So I want to ask, we got to ask Jim Phillips, you know, how does that affect you moving forward? And, what is the best thing for Northwestern? And, boy, did the Buckeyes ever get back at a Big Ten opponent after losing last week in Iowa City? They hammered the Spartans.
Yeah, 48-3 the final today. JT Barrett, 14-21, a couple of touchdowns. That was the standard letdown game after coming all the way back to beat Penn State in one of the great Buckeye wins of recent note. They just came out flat against Iowa last week and got smoked by the Hawkeyes. No one saw that coming. I want to make mention here real quick. Illinois at home today. Lost to Indiana, a 4-6 now Indiana team. The first win for the Hoosiers in the Big Ten. They beat Illinois 24-14. And I get it that it's early in the Lovey tenure here, but that is we got a lot of losses in a row now for Illinois.
Yeah, we got a lot of losses.
10 consecutive in the Big Ten. They've got Ohio State next week. That'll be 11. And then they got the Wildcats, so that should be 12. And Indiana coming in today, last in the conference in rushing yards, 114. They roll up 139 today in beating the Illini. You know, this is Lovey.
They don't run. Indiana doesn't run. Indiana's passing team.
So, I mean, I don't know where Illini football fans are. There are any left right now.
There are. It's the state school.
Of course.
There's a lot of people, obviously.
Of course. But even the ones that are not exactly, you know, jumping up and down, I-L-L-I-N-I. And maybe Lovey will get it turned around, but so far to this point, a lot of work to do down there.
Yeah.
A lot of work.
You know, as the kids say when they text, SMH, shaking my head.
Right. Now we've got Miami and Notre Dame tonight, as well as Northwestern and Purdue. And a lot of people are excited for that rivalry, both schools relevant again. And the Irish, number 3 in the country, looking like they're going to play for the national championship, which makes me nauseous.
I don't see why that makes you nauseous. You know, there is a certain arrogance to a lot of the Notre Dame football fans because, you know, they were so great. And, you know, they came from the land of Newt Rockne and, you know, what Notre Dame has done. And, of course, Eric Prestigian and, you know, what Notre Dame has accomplished in the history of that football program is incredible. I think that the Notre Dame guys I know, who I've been razzing for these last, you know, 10 years, they've been great sports about it. They've been good losers. I think there's something right on the college football landscape when Notre Dame is competing for a national championship. And they have dominated teams. They dominated some very, very good teams. You know, USC might have the best quarterback in the country, and Notre Dame took them out. NC State's got a great defense, and Notre Dame ran all over them. You know, Notre Dame, they lost to Georgia by 1 point. I know Georgia was losing earlier today. But, I mean, Notre Dame deserves to be in the Final Four.
I'm not saying they don't, and I'm also not saying that it's a great university, and I mean I'll go even on the basketball side and think about Digger Phelps and David Rivers, and go back to a Jerry Faust era Notre Dame football, and of course Lou Holtz. And but right now, with Brian Kelly, who has had so much stuff going on off the field, at practice, in dorm rooms, all of it, as he's the head coach of the football team, I just find it very hard to feel any level of support for what's going on down there. He should not be their head football coach. He shouldn't have been for a long time.
I agree with that. I agree with that. And lives have been lost. You know, it's horrible what's happened there. Here's why the football team is doing well. It's not because of Brian Kelly. It's because they got a tremendous offensive coordinator and a tremendous defensive coordinator. And Kelly was smart enough to realize that, you know, he should have two other guys doing that and get out of the way.
Well, give him credit for doing that, because that's, you know, you got to know where your strengths are, and having good people around you is a skill. I'll give him credit there. Hey, let's take a quick time out, so we'll bring in Dr.
Yes.
Jim, and then we'll get you ready for Blackhawks hockey as we'll be off at the bottom of the hour. And don't forget, of course, the Wildcats and Purdue coming up tonight. AM 1160 is where you can hear the Cats and Purdue tonight. 720 WGN, the great athletic director for Northwestern University. Look at you. Night game, Ryan Field, huh? Going for five in a row. First team in the history of college football to win three straight overtime games. I was watching you in the end zone complete. You know, you were so calm. It was amazing.
See, we have tricked the both of you tonight, and we've tricked the thousands that will be here in attendance. This is really the cardiac screening event for the greater North Shore area.
I see.
And so we'll just hook you up to a medical device that will monitor your heart rate through the course of 3 hours, and then at the end you either get a pass fail and you go in one direction or the other.
It's been phenomenal. You know, you watch a Northwestern game and you say, wow, that's the game of the year, until the next one happens. And you're like, well, that's the game of the year. No, that's the game of the year. It's thrilling. And, you know, I remember the local kid, Jordan Vesterkamp, catching that deflected pass. So what goes around comes around. I live in the area, and every time I'm on campus, I am just blown away by that new facility that you guys have going up here. And I'm not talking about what's happening with the basketball arena. I'm talking about that gorgeous new, like, practice facility. Can you tell us about that, please?
Absolutely. It's a game changer for us. It's nearly 500,000 square feet. It's on the shores of Lake Michigan, right in the middle of campus. I think what was really critical was location, so we could have full integration in the campus. But it's a Monday through Sunday facility that will really support 497 student athletes, all 19 programs. So it's academic services, it's sports medicine, it's strength and conditioning, it's nutrition, it's dining, it's NU for Life, our area that helps Wildcats find jobs and internships while they're in school, and then places them once they graduate. Coaches' offices, meeting rooms, team rooms, equipment room. It's like no other. But we went to 64 schools all over the country, took 2 years to plan it out. And I think the location really, to me, is significant, because it's a stone's throw away from the residence halls. It's a stone's throw away from classrooms. And, again, being a mile away here at Ryan Field, where we've traditionally done all those support services, to be now in the center campus will be just incredible.
Are we talking, like, raised expectations? Like, do you feel like, oh, we got all this stuff now, and I know you got, Fitz wants it all, and Chris wants it all, and your other coaches want it all. So, I mean, do you feel that around campus?
I think it should be there. Yeah. What I really enjoy is I just believe we're just getting started. We haven't had any of these things, right? And so people have talked about, well, it's the first time football and basketball have been ranked in the, you know, at the same time ever, and, you know, basketball and what they've done in football, 2 10-win seasons in the last 5 years and 2 bowl wins. We've had, you know, 3 in our total history. But I really believe it's just the starting point because we don't have any of these facilities right now. We're recruiting to them, but we need to be able to recruit, develop, train, and then I think you're going to see – I think over the course of the next 3 to 5 years, I think you're going to see us – move up even another notch. And I'll be disappointed if we don't get there. I really will.
Well, that facility that's going up now, that is like the ace of Trump. You know, kids come here on a visit and they see that, that's going to be a difference.
I actually just stand outside of it when I come each week to interview a Wildcat for a pregame, and I just stand and I look, and I kind of there's a little bit of me that weeps because I miss basketball being in there. Although, you know, going to Allstate for a year, that's part of the deal, and it was fun last night to get a win. But I can't wait. I mean, I think it's just going to be incredible for everybody, especially the people that have been coming year after year after year and are actually going to sit in comfort, and should be awesome, right?
And yeah, and guys are working on the basketball arena today. Yeah, it's crazy. So we've seen the pictures, but can you kind of like describe when we go see a Northwestern game next season, what's it going to be like?
Well, one of the things that's driven this is we need to have a modern-day facility that is really a first-class place for the experience of our fans, right? So concourses and restrooms and concessions and seating and the rest of it. And then we want a world-class place for our kids to play in. It's men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball, wrestling. So we have 4 teams that's kind of their home. For the fans, I think it'll be like no other. We went down in seating. We had 8,100 seats in the old Welsh Rhine Arena. We're going to have 7,000 seats. We want to make it a tough ticket. I want to make it the very best or one of the very best, loudest facilities, a great home court advantage. The sight lines will be beautiful. Points of sale areas will overlook the arena, so you won't ever have to miss, play in the action. Restrooms will be in all the areas. There'll be different areas for you to enter. And in the end, I think it's going to be, just like the lakefront facility. But when you add what we're doing on the lakefront, you add the Welsh Rhine Arena, and then we're doing a Trinan's Performance Center, which is a basketball practice facility, and we have $430 million worth of facilities that will come online over the next 12 to 14 months. So it really is exciting.
How far away will your seats be from Doug Collins? So I want you guys to be close. That's an important factor you should be considering here,
so
Dr. Jim.
If what we did at Allstate Arena, which is a great home for us for a year, if you're going to have to go anywhere, it's been I really thank the folks out there. His seats right now are about 4 rows behind me. So I would think that probably would be an equal distance when we open the new Welsh Rhine Arena.
Jim Phillips, the athletic director at Northwestern, for a couple more minutes here, getting ready for Northwestern and Purdue. The University of Wisconsin is about to go to 10-0. It's going to be their best start in the history of that football program, yet they sit at number 8 and probably – it's going to take a lot for them to get to the Final Four. How does that affect you guys when you look ahead for games you might schedule in the future?
Well, we've always tried to play a tough schedule, and I think when you look at us being in the top 25, Harry, we've played 4 ranked opponents out of our 8 games, right? And we have wins against 2 of those opponents with Iowa and Michigan State. So you're going to have to do that. People get all upset about, Wisconsin undefeated season and all the rest of it. It will take care of itself, and I have great confidence in the selection committee. They've gotten it right each of the years that we've had that system together. There's still a ton of football to be played when you think about the rest of today, 2 more weeks of the regular season, conference championship season. A lot of things will shake out, and the right 4 teams will get to the playoff.
Can't wait for the bowl game. Can't wait for the Final Four. Just going to let that sit there. Can't wait for the Final Four.
I love it.
I mean, I know you're on the committee, so, I mean, right now they got to be at least a 6 seed, 1-0. I'm saying. Jim, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Go Cats.
All right.
Go Cats.
Blackhawks hockey coming right on up here. Play ball. You can celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. Dave and Ted with the call tonight on AM 1160 right at 5:30. The Blackhawks and the Carolina Hurricanes. coming up here in a matter of moments, right on 720 WGN. Thank you to Dan Long for producing. Harry, great to be with you today. Don't take your headset off yet. Please talk to me.
Carm, it was great to be with
you.
I appreciate Dave and Ted letting us crash in their booth. Thanks to Dan Long back in the studio and, of course, Adam Phillips here.
And Dr. Jim for coming on, and for Paul Kennedy and the Wildcats for welcoming us and being so gracious. All right, Blackhawks hockey coming up here. The Hawks and the Carolina Hurricanes. Harry, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week, and I'll be listening to you guys after the Bears tomorrow.
Go Cats, go Cats, go Cats. Thanks for listening. Thanks for texting. Thanks for calling 720 WGN.